Amen. Appreciate you, brother.
I know the Lord sent for in the night here to speak upon the word of God, nothing else.
God bless you, preacher.
Every time I came, I knew that you've been called of God.
Amen.
Not that I was examining you.
Sure.
It just comes out. Yes, he did that. He'll come out.
Oh, yeah, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. God bless your heart. Right quick, Richard.
You know, I appreciate you so much.
Amen, brother. Amen. God bless you, buddy. Amen. Amen, brother. God bless your heart, Brother Richard. What a blessing. What a blessing. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to James chapter number 4. James chapter number 4. We are baptizing tonight, but we don't substitute anything for the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Let's see. I believe Brother Shy Mooney's getting baptized, and I know that for sure. And Miss Marissa Manning. It's good to have all her family. Let's have Marissa's family stand. Would y'all do that? I don't want to embarrass you, but man, she brought a crowd. Yeah. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a slew of them. Hallelujah. Amen. It is certainly good to have you folks with us tonight. And I want you to make yourself at home. And about no relation to Peyton and Eli, right? They're just looking at me stupid. Anyway, I'm sure their last name's Manning. I'm sure they get that all the time. But anyway, it's good to have y'all. We're glad you're here. Why don't you look in James chapter number 4 tonight, just for a few minutes. I'll be as brief as possible. Look at verse number 13, where the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." We're going to read another verse, but look at me just for a minute. What he's writing about and what he's saying here in verse 13 tonight is there is a crowd of people who, and we're all that way, we tend to make our plans. This is what we're going to do. Tomorrow we're going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do that. Brother Stacy called me yesterday, I believe it was, and he wants to know what I'm doing on Friday. He said, "What are you going to be doing on Friday?" Or Levi asked me in the office this morning, "What are you going to be doing on Wednesday?" And you know what? To be honest with you, I know what I'd like to be doing. I'd like to make plans and say, well, if everything works out, we'll do this or we'll do that or we'll go here or we'll go there. But the truth of the matter is, I have no idea what I may be doing tomorrow. As far as you know, you'll get up in the morning, your clock's already set, you'll go to work tomorrow and work your job, you'll come home, you'll have supper, you'll watch your favorite show, and you'll go to bed. That sound about normal for most people's life? But we do not know that. Why? Look at verse number 14. He says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." In other words, he said, I'll put it in good country English for you. You ain't got a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. Amen. All I can tell you about so far is what has happened today. I cannot tell you what will happen tomorrow. The weatherman thinks he can forecast this. And you know what? At best, that is an educated guess. Is that right? So if we were out trying to say, well, tomorrow we're gonna do this or we're going to do that, we're going to go to work, we're going to go to the revival meeting over at White Oak, that would just be an educated guess. But we are not guaranteed that.
Right.
You understand that? We're not guaranteed that. Let's look at the rest of the verse. He said, "For what is your life?" That'd be a good little phrase or a good question to underline in your Bible. What is your life? He said, "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." I want to preach to you on this thought just for a few minutes tonight. What is your life? What is your life? If we looked at the life of some famous movie stars who made movies, you know, they categorize movies. If you thought about John Wayne tonight, it wouldn't put you in mindset of a Harlequin romance type movie, would it? No, you'd think about an action movie or a Western movie or a war movie. Let me ask you a question. What kind of movie would your life be? You go into the air. I go into the airport when I fly, and I'm always looking for a good. I don't like to read fake stuff. I like to read real stuff, true stories. There's a book out now about the guy who got his arm caught while he was out hiking, and he stayed there for days, wound up cutting his own hand off. And the name of the book's Between a Rock and a Hard Place. And buddy, he was. But stuff like that interests me. I love historical stuff. But when you go in the bookstore, they've got the books in sections. Everything here is historical. They've got political. They've got business. You know what I'm saying? If we were to categorize your life, if we had to put you on the bookshelf of the library tonight, what category would we place you in? Amen. Historical? Would your life be about what you used to do?
Come on, that's good.
I've heard people stand up in church all my life and testify about what they used to do. Amen. And thank God for that. Somebody in Brother Atkins' shape. How old are you, Brother Atkins? 76 years old. He's got every right in the world to stand up and talk about what all he used to do for God. He pastored for years and years and years and years and years. He is at the end. He can look back now and talk about what all he used to do. But somebody who's in their 20s, it ain't time for you to talk about what you used to do. It's time for you to get busy and do something for God. You are making your history right now as you live. We okay? I don't want my life as where I stand right now just to be a history book. Yeah.
Amen.
And I sure don't want it to be a drama.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We've got some young girls in this church who live for drama. And the older I get, it seems that the boys are getting caught up in it more and more and more.
Yeah.
Drama, 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 drama. You're like a soap opera.
Amen.
Are y'all all right? It's just like a soap opera. I was out of town preaching a while back, and where I was staying, it was in I was right near Cincinnati, Ohio. I can't remember the name of the town, but in Cincinnati and in Ohio, they have a restaurant that's famous. It's called Skyline Chili. They say when you go to Ohio, you got to eat Skyline Chili. Trust me, you ain't miss nothing. I'm serious, it ain't worth having. I mean, it really ain't. But I was there. It's one of those things. You got to do it when you're in near Cincinnati, Ohio. So I'm sitting in the Skyline Chili. There's nobody in the restaurant. Duh, that's a good sign. When it's lunchtime and ain't nobody there, it probably ain't fit to eat. Amen? But these two old ladies came in, probably in their late 60s, early 70s, somewhere in that neighborhood. And they sat down in a booth right across from me. I don't know what kind of church they went to, what denomination it was. It didn't matter. But all I heard the entire time, that chili was so bad it took me an hour to eat it. But the whole time I was sitting there, they kept making this same statement. I would hear it and I'd start eavesdropping. I know that's wicked, but I couldn't help it. She'd say, "Did you hear?" And the other one'd lean over. You know, like it was bad to hear it. No, what? And she'd tell her story about whoever it was they went to church. And then by the time she'd get through, she'd say, "Oh, but darling, did you hear?" I mean, it was just back and forth and back and forth. And I thought, man, I don't want to live my life like a soap opera. You know what? It seemed like their enjoyment and their joy was on other people's trouble. It seemed like the only thing they had to talk about was who was going through a divorce, who was having an affair, who was filing bankruptcy. Are y'all with me? They sat there for an hour and talked about everybody else's problem. Not one time did they talk about the goodness of God.
Yeah.
I know they were church folk because that's what they were talking about was people in their church.
Yeah.
Y'all okay? Not one time did they say anything about somebody got saved, God put a family back together. Did you hear? Now that's good news. Amen. I don't want my life to be a history book until I'm old enough for it to be. Amen. I don't want my life to be a drama, and I sure don't want my life to be a fiction.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I sure don't want my life to be a fiction. If I'm going to waste my time reading a book, and I'm not a big reader, but when I'm on an airplane, it's good to pass time. Amen. I'm not a big reader, but if I'm going to read something, I want it to be real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all all right? I mean, bro, that stuff's exciting, but it ain't real. When I was a kid, I didn't read a whole lot, but my favorite books, if I was going to read one, if you had to do a book report and they let you pick a book to read, it would always be Louis L'Amour. Y'all know who Louis L'Amour is? Did all the Western novels. I'd read them novels. Man, I'd picture that stuff in my mind. I'd picture the Indian raids and shoot them up, you know, and that was the coolest thing. But only one problem. It ain't real.
Amen.
I know some Christians just like that. They come to church on Sunday. They took that big old King James Bible under their arm. They got that smile on their face and shake. Hey, preacher, how are you doing? Good to see you. Oh, ain't God good? And you just as fake as a $3 bill. Y'all okay? Say it. What is your life? Is it a fiction? I lived till I was 19 years old, a fake. I made a profession of faith when I was a child. I was 6 years old. I had a buddy double dog dare me during a revival meeting to go to the altar. He dared me and I went. They told me to say this prayer and I said it. If that's all you're doing is repeating something somebody else said and it's coming from here and not from here, you didn't get it. A relationship with Jesus Christ is just that. It's a relationship. It's personal.
Amen.
Amen. And for 19 years, if somebody, or all them years between 6 and 19, if somebody said, are you saved? Oh, yeah. I'm a member of the church. Being a member of the church don't make you a member of the bride of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Being baptized. We're going to baptize here in just a little bit. And thank God for it. That's the first command we follow after being saved. But that don't make you saved. The blood of Jesus Christ is what makes you saved. That water up there is a representation of what Jesus did for us, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Amen? It's a testimony that we have been saved. Are y'all all right? I don't want to live my life as a phony. For the first time in my life at 19 years old, I realized that what I had wasn't real. Amen? I want the real thing. I want the real thing. How many of y'all remember real Coca-Cola? Little green bottle, real Coca-Cola. Y'all remember them? Now, see, these kids ain't got a clue. They drank that classic Coke. Now, I've got used to it now, and now it's pretty good. Remember the first time you tasted it? The first time you tasted classic Coke, it'd make you want to hurl. Because it wasn't nothing like the real thing. The real thing burned your nose. Amen. The real thing, you could drop a 16-penny nail in one of them little green Coca-Cola bottles, and the next day that nail would be gone. The real Coke was bad stuff. That's the truth, man. You could clean battery acid off your car, off your battery cables. I'm telling you, that real Coke was the good stuff, man. Amen. I'd love to have that stuff back. It was great. But listen, so many people have settled for all this other stuff that's a watered-down, weaker version. And they don't know the difference because they've never had the real thing. Amen. I like the real thing. Amen. I can almost taste it right now. Amen. Used to get them out of them Coke machines. Remember, Brother Charles, you'd open that little door and pull that bottle out? I remember getting them for 15 cents. Hallelujah. Some of you remember getting them cheaper than that. They probably give them away when you was a boy, didn't they, Brother Hackett? You put two hen eggs in the machine and get out of Coca-Cola. Anyway. I don't want my life to be a fiction novel. I want my life to be real. Yeah. I remember Jason, when we buried your dad. I remember standing in that funeral home, standing at the head of his casket. I stood there till I felt like my legs was going to fall out from under me. And they'd walk by and they'd say, one thing about OJ, he is real. He is the same. If you saw him on the side of the road, he put out them little signs for a living. They'd say he is the same if you talked to him on the side of the road as he was if you saw him in church on Sunday morning. You know what that was? That was real.
Yeah.
I never said real is perfect. But it's real. You know what you're getting when you get it. Amen? We're living in a society of a world of phony people. We want people to think we're all that in a bag of chips. When in reality, we're nothing but sinners saved by grace. If we are. Some are putting on a fraud even about being saved. Amen. What is your life? Historical? Drama? Fiction? What about comedy? Some people, seriously, if it wasn't so sad, I'd laugh. Y'all okay? I had a young couple come in my office one day and they sat down. Young man, young woman. They said, can we see you after church? I said, sure. They sat down in my office. I sat down. I said, what's up? They said, we want to get married. And I went, yeah, right. They didn't want my advice. They wanted my approval.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
What is your life? Just with that fault line, where would my life fit? We love to sit back and examine everybody else's life. That's what them two old ladies was doing in the Skyline Chili. They was talking about everybody else's life. They never mentioned their own. But I'm sure across town in another Skyline Chili, there was two more old gray-headed women sitting there eating that raunchy chili, talking about them two I was listening to. Amen. Guarantee you just about bet on that. Somebody say amen right there. They asked some folks one day to give a definition of what they thought life is. A college student put it like this: life is a joke that's not even funny. For a lot of people, that's the truth. They asked an agnostic. He said, life is the sentence we get for being born. Well, that's an outlook on life, isn't it? Life is the punishment I get for just being here. Brother, you need something. Amen. I feel sorry for somebody like that. The physician said, life is the union of body and soul, the period between life and death. Pretty good secular description, I think. And here's what the Bible said. Job put it this way. He said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In other words, life is a gift from God. If you are sucking in and blowing out, that's breathing, by the way, that is a gift from God. Every one of those you get, that's another blessing, that's another gift. Hey, by the way, every time you do that, you're one more closer to your last. So I've been practicing breathing slower, amen. Amen. Every one you get, brother, that's just another blessing from God. Wouldn't you agree with that? Hey, I don't know how many people have woke up in the morning, realized that the spouse laying next to them was cold. This may be the last day I get. This may be the last day I get to tell my wife I love her. This may be the last day I have to love on my children. This may be the last opportunity I get to preach to my people. Amen. Life is a gift. We ought to cherish and embrace every minute of it. Amen. We ought to cherish and embrace every minute of that. I was driving down the road today, this afternoon, listening to on the WDCY radio station. They were playing a service, the whole entire service, of Brother Weininger's services over at Kingsway. And Brother Weininger was talking about his daughter, Stacy, back in 1990. Anybody, Brother Ronnie, you remember late 90s, wasn't it, brother? His daughter, Stacy, I think she was 15, just a young teenage girl. They had been out to church somewhere, not doing anything bad, or to a school ball game, something like that. Just a few miles from their home, got killed in a car. And Brother Weininger said this. He said, you know, you just don't ever know. Amen. Somebody said, well, when I get these kids, well, when I get 16, wait a minute, whoa, enjoy 15. Enjoy 15. I said, enjoy 15. You remember when you were young, your life consisted of living from birthday to Christmas? You ask one of these little old boys, how old are you? 9 3/4. Amen. It's all about wanting to be bigger, wanting to get older, wanting to get to Christmas's present. Now, if I just said Christmas, and some of y'all went, oh. Used to be something you look forward to. Amen. I say something about birthday, and you don't even want to think about that. Amen. I got one coming. I'll be 47 years old here in just a few weeks. Stacy, we dying. He's older than I am. No, he ain't. He's younger than I am. But as you get older, those birthdays seem like they start getting closer together, don't they? Christmas seemed like it was just a couple days ago. I mean, boy, it starts flying, don't it? Amen. What is your life? What is your life? I don't know how long you have. I want you to notice the first thing. I'll give you a couple of thoughts tonight and we'll baptize and go to the house. I want you to notice tonight the shortness of life. The shortness of life. The Bible said a man's days is 70. Somebody tell me how old that is. 70 years old. I tell Granny Faye and these older folks around here, you're on borrowed time. Amen. Amen. I believe that's just the grace of God for living a good life. Amen. Getting to live longer. 70 years old. Man, I'm telling you, that used to be, to me, if somebody was 70 years old, I'm thinking, man, I bet they was on the ark. I mean, that dude's old, man. Hey, man, y'all think 70's old? Oh, come on, you do too. Thank you, Jeremiah. Yeah, 70. Them's old people, ain't it? Man, the closer I get to it, the younger y'all look.
Yeah.
Amen. The older I get, amen. Old Brother Jack Howell said he used to have a rule. He wouldn't kiss a girl over six, under six. What was it? Over six or over under 60. He said, and I've had to change that. He said, I changed that to over six or under 80. He said, because them 60-year-old women looking better all the time. Amen. I thought that makes a lot of sense, the older you get. Amen. The shortness of life. What is your life? Here's what James said in chapter 4 and verse number 14. He said, it's a vapor. It's a vapor. You know what a vapor is? Smoke. Some of y'all smoke. You blow that smoke out, you see it just for a minute, and it just disappears. Steam out of a kettle. It blows out there, and it just disappears, doesn't it? I mean, it's just there for a spot of time. I mean, brother, when you're little, you think getting to a certain age is taking forever and ever and ever, but when you stop as an older fella and start to look back on it, you wonder, where did the time go? The shortness, hey, we're not promised tomorrow. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. Amen. There's a lot of doomsday guys on the television now, on Fox News and different places you can turn and list. Listen, it sounds like, man, we're facing the end of the world, man. These prophecies in the Bible are playing out before our eyes. What are you saying? I'm saying Jesus is coming soon. You say, well, I'm in good shape. I plan on living to 70. Well, what if the rapture takes place in between there? I'm telling you, life is short. Life is short. We are not guaranteed tomorrow. It's short. You see, these people were making plans. These people in verse number 13 were making plans. We're going to go to this city or that city and buy and sell. We're going to live there a year. How do you know? How do you know? These guys that we've been able to minister to that have been in the military, Brother Greg and Brother Eric, and ever so many years, I don't know if you call it a contract or whatever is up, their time. And they have to make a decision whether I'm going to sign up again or not. When they sign up for a block of time. And their plan is to make it through that block of time, maybe reach this early retirement, whatever. But we don't know. We haven't a clue. On Thursday, Lord willing, we're going with Brother Charles to his retirement party, and they're going to have a meal and a nice time. That'll be his last day on his job. Wouldn't it be something for the Lord? He worked all them years, and the Lord came right before that party. That'd be all right with you, wouldn't it? Amen. Be all right with me. Just go to the big party. Hallelujah. Life is short. Life is short. You go to the graveyard. I can take you and show you. Brother Freddie, we put them in the ground that big. Brother William, Miss Jennifer lost a baby. They put that little baby in a coffin. It was about this long. I got boxes that cowboy boots come in that are bigger than that baby's casket was. You go and you'll find them that long. You'll find them that long. Man, death doesn't care. Death doesn't care how old you are. It doesn't go, wait a minute, that one's too young. Death doesn't care. Life doesn't care. It's cruel at best. Amen. The shortness of life. Would you listen to this? In Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 9, the Bible said we spend our years as a tale that is told. We spend our years as a tale that is told. In other words, a story. I want you to notice not only the shortness of life, but the seriousness of life. Somebody once said only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
I want you to notice not only the shortness of life, but the seriousness of life. What's going to count when you stand before God is what you've done in between that span, between birth and between death. Some people got a big span, some has a little bitty short one.
Yeah.
Amen. I hope I've got some more left to go on mine. Amen.
Amen.
But it's serious. What are you saying? I'm saying whatever you do, you better get at it.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, one of these days we're going to do this for God. One of these days we're going to do that. One of these days we're going to start going to visitation, knocking on doors. One of these days I'm going to hand out some gospel tracts. One of these days I'm going to get serious about reading my Bible. One of these days, you may not have one of these days.
Amen.
And I hope you do. I hope everybody in here lives be 90. I do. But you're not promised that.
Amen.
I'm not promised that.
Yes.
Amen. I remember when I was a young man, we had a pastor at White Oak Springs. His name was Larry Davis. And we were teenagers. He had a daughter that was my age.
And they left our church, went to the next church he pastored, and she met a young boy in that church. I mean, we were still just like 15, 17, maybe 17 years old. He came to their house after church. They were walking across the yard looking at the flowers that her mother had planted, and the boy just grabbed his heart. Never said a word, just grabbed his heart, fell over graveyard dead. Stuff happens every day. Man, life is serious. Life is serious. And some of you young people play with it like it's a game. It's not a game. I could go in here and ask any man in this room, if you got a chance to go back and do it right, would you? Every one of them would. Here's what makes life so serious. You don't get to do it twice. You got one shot, teenagers. That's it. If you're going to live for God while you're 16, you got 1 year to do that. You don't ever get that back. Don't play with it. Amen. Hey, I heard messages just like you're hearing tonight. And I did just like you're doing. We pass notes, y'all text. I like to grab one of them phones, throw it against that concrete wall sometimes while I'm preaching. I'm smiling while I'm saying it. Amen. You say it's rude, preacher. You shouldn't say that. It's rude to sit and text somebody while they're trying to preach to you. Amen. I'm saying, kids, you ought to take your life serious. I'm not saying you can't have fun. Amen. I'm not saying you can't have fun. I love to have fun. I love to cut up. I love to wrestle. I love to play ball. I love to ride my horses. I love to do all. I love to fish. I love to hunt. I love to do all that stuff. Hey, but there's a time we ought to stop and take our life seriously.
Amen.
When we ran this Christian school, every year I had appointments with our seniors. Every year. I would talk to them individually. I'm talking about seniors in high school about to graduate. My first question, what are you going to do after you graduate? Anybody know what the number one answer is? Sometimes I don't even get that. I don't know. What you going to do when you graduate? I don't know. Are you going to go to college? I don't know. What do you want to be? I don't know. Maybe it'd be a good time to start figuring it out. Amen. Maybe it'd be a good time to start figuring out God and ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Lord God, what do you want me to do? Hey, life is serious. Amen. I've had friends that Brother Stacy and I went to school with, people that I knew very well. I could sit here right now and make you a list that's pretty long of them that we've already put in the ground. And there's times I think, boy, I wish I'd went by and saw them. I wish I'd went by and talked to them. I ran into one fella. They got into drugs, him and his wife. They were selling the meth, the amphetamines. If I said his name, most of you know who he was. I was down in Florida on vacation. Got a phone call. He shot and killed his wife, then turned the gun on himself and blew his brains out. I had to leave my vacation, come home, bury my friend. All the way on the drive from Panama City to here, I could hear his voice. Come see me sometime. That's what he said the last time I saw him. Come see me sometime. But you know what? I'll never get a chance to do that again. Never get a chance to go by and see him again. I'm telling you, we ought to take life a little more serious. I'm not quite so footloose and fancy free. And especially not for granted. Amen. Because life is short. Life is serious. Life is significant. It matters. When they brought Jacob before the king in Genesis chapter number 47, he talks about the days of the years of my pilgrimage. Listen, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. You know what a pilgrim is? He's somebody who don't really live there. He's just passing through. You know, you understand that? He said the years of the days of my pilgrimage. He said they were 130. He said they were few and evil. Genesis chapter 47. 130. Can you imagine a 130-year-old man saying my days are few? Wow. 130, that's old. Now I'm 47 and I can look at that and go, that's old. Amen. People back then lived a lot longer than what we do today. But he talked about his pilgrimage. In other words, he was saying my journey. My journey. If you're on a journey, you're going somewhere. Could we agree to that? Do you know where? Have you got a clue as to where you're going? My pilgrimage is going to end somewhere. My journey will have an end. It had a beginning, November the 13th, 1964, Paul Memorial Hospital in Dallas, Georgia. That's where my pilgrimage began. I know where it's going to end. I don't know when. I'm like the little kid in the back seat of the car. Are we there yet? How much further? My pilgrimage is going to end in heaven. Jesus said in John chapter number 14, if I go away and prepare a place, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I trusted Christ as my Savior. I know where my pilgrimage ends. You say, how can you really know? Because the Bible said these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. I put my trust and my faith in what Jesus did at Calvary. Therefore, I know because the Bible said my pilgrimage, my journey will end with heaven. So what if I hadn't done that? I don't want to sound crude. There's only two places. It's heaven or it's hell. You're heading in one direction. You see, for 19 years, I was headed toward hell. But on that New Year's Eve when I trusted Christ as my Savior, Brother Jason, in your daddy's front yard, he turned me and headed me back in another direction. My journey changed directions. I'm glad on that New Year's Eve I was heading in the wrong way, but because of Christ and what He did at Calvary, my journey was turned around and I'm headed the right way. Amen. Somebody said I'm heaven bound with a hammer down. Hallelujah. Amen. When I lay my head on my pillow tonight, I won't wonder where I'll be if I die before I wake. Amen. Remember when you prayed when you were a little kid, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I don't pray that. If I should die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul will take. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Because my faith and my confidence and my trust is in Him. He's my Savior. Amen. I may lay in my bed and wonder what would my wife do. She'd run to the bank so fast with that insurance check. I know that. Anyway, my journey's going somewhere. My journey's going somewhere. Listen, your life matters. It's significant. You ever felt like you just don't matter? It does matter. And where you end up matters. Listen, let me give you one or two more and we'll go. Job said in Job chapter 14 and verse 2, he said he cometh forth. He's talking like a man. Yeah. Talking about a man. He said he cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. Listen, we talked about the shortness of life, the seriousness of life, the significance of life, but then there's a sweetness of life. Thank God. Hey, there's a lot of trouble in this world, but I'm glad it ain't all that way. Amen. That flower for a time gives forth a good fragrance. Yeah, yes, amen. Amen. Hey, listen, I could reminisce about my friend, the man who led me to Christ. I could reminisce about him. And you know what? I've got a lot of sweet memories, Brother Stacy. Sweet, sweet memories. Oh, there were some troubles that he told me about through the years and some heartaches that he had to go through the years, but there were some good parts too. Yeah, yes. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, for the child of God, there is some sweetness in life. Amen. Amen. I like the old Uncle Bud Robertson, the old, I forgot what he was, Brother Charles. He was an old evangelist back years ago. He said he had a hair lip. And he said it gets tweeter and tweeter. He said it's like sugar. It gets tweeter and tweeter. I like that. Amen. Hey, I don't have a lisp or a hair lip tonight. But thank God it's like sugar. It just gets tweeter and tweeter and tweeter. Amen. Amen. Listen, the more I know about Him, the more I love Him. The longer I'm in this thing, I'm talking about the fight of faith, the longer I'm in the army of God, the better it gets, the better I like it, the more excited I get about it. It's sweet. Amen. Amen. You know what I enjoy now? I don't really consider myself an older Christian, but I've been saved quite a while. I've been in this thing a while. Amen. I enjoy watching these young folks. Yeah. I enjoy watching these people like Dennis, this young man that just got saved this morning. And I remember when I was there, just starting out. I love to see these young preacher boys when they get up to preach their first message. I've been thinking about Casey this afternoon, Casey Crosby. He's one of our young preacher boys. He's off preaching at another church tonight. Nervous. He told me this morning, he said, about to throw up right now. Just nervous. I thought, boy, I remember that. And I enjoy seeing that. Amen. I enjoy seeing God work in people's lives. Had a beautiful wedding yesterday. Brother Dustin and Miss Shannon, shame on them. They should have come home from that honeymoon, been in church today. Amen. I'm kidding. But they were standing there before me, and I'm looking at Dusty and Shannon. I'll be honest with you, all I could see was Eddie and Angie. I remember that. I remember standing there in my palms sweating so bad. My knees knocking. That preacher with his finger pointing in my face, hollering, "Until death. Until death." He said, "I said, until death." Amen. Every time my wife, we get to fuss and argue, and one of them say, "I'll leave you," that's all I can see is that big old finger, "until death." I'm kidding. We don't talk about leaving. But seriously, I look back at that, and I see where we was. And I stand there for that little couple, and I pray, "God, do for them Amen. What you done for us. Amen. Let it be as sweet for them Amen. As it's been for us. Help them to get through the hard times like you helped us through the hard times. Amen. Help them to focus on what's good and not on what's bad. Amen. Help them to focus not on what's wrong but on what's right. Help them to keep their eyes on you. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Life is sweet. Amen. It's sweet. I'll tell you one of the greatest things in the world. Hold a brand new grandbaby in your hand. It's got 10 fingers and 10 toes. Amen. Amen. It's Amen. Wonderful. Amen. I said it's wonderful. Amen. We spend so much time griping and grumbling about things and finances and the job. And man, you ought to stop every now and then, somebody said, and just smell the roses. Amen. I guarantee you, let me examine your life 5 minutes. I'll show you something you can brag about. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Life is sweet. Let me give you this and I'm done. The secret of life. The secret of life. We looked at the shortness, the seriousness, the significance, the sweetness. I'm done with this right here. The secret of life. The secret of life. Somebody said, "Man, you're so happy. What's the secret?" Paul said in Philippians, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." For me to live is Christ. In other words, he's saying, for me to live, it's the Lord Jesus Christ because he walks with me and talks with me. He said, but to die is gain.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, it's heaven either way. Amen. What's the secret to life? It's Jesus.
Yes,
it's a relationship with him. It's a confidence in him. It's putting your faith and your trust in him. That's the secret to life. How do I build a better marriage? Will Oprah help me? No. We're living in a society trusting too much in Oprah and Dr. Phil. What about Dr. Jesus? He'll help you out. Amen? We need help knowing how to raise our children. Read the book of Proverbs. It's all through there. Amen? We're learning to lean on all these other things when Christ is all we need. I don't fault somebody for getting advice from somewhere. As long as it's godly advice.
Amen.
Amen. Had a lady in the church. They were going through a divorce and she was talking. And she said, "Well, my friend at work told me this is what I ought to do." And I said, "Well, tell me about your friend at work. Is she married?" She said, "No, she's divorced." I said, "Don't sound like she's too good at it." Y'all all right? I'm going to get advice from somebody on marriage. I'm not going to ask a man who's been married 7-8 times, "Hey, buddy, tell me how to do this." Amen. Y'all okay? Won't find me some old gray-headed or bald-headed saint of God and say, "Brother, tell me how you've done it." I know what him and her tell me, both of them. I could ask that white-haired man sitting right there, "Tell me how you've done it." He'd say, "It's been the Lord. It's been the Lord." We can give good advice and talk about your relationship and how you ought to date your wife and how you ought to do this and how you ought to do that. Hey, bottom line is, where's God in your life?
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to get off on this too much, but listen, every single time when I've got couples going through it, it seems like their families, their lives are falling apart. Every time after examining and asking questions, the Lord is not where he ought to be. Every single time. The secret of life, Paul said, is Christ. For me to live is Christ. Huh. I said I was going to give you one more and I was done. I lied. Let me give you one more. The source of life. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12. The Bible said, "He that hath the Son hath life." The source of life. Amen. I'm going to heaven when I die because I got hooked into the source. I got plugged into the source. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible said, because I'm plugged in to the source. I'm happy in my soul tonight because I'm hooked in to the source. What's the source? The Son. The Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Let's stand our feet all over the house. What is your life? Where would we place you? In the library. What is your life? Let's bow our heads all over the house. We'll have just a brief altar call tonight and then get ready to go up and baptize. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that'd say, "Preacher, just simply, I need Christ in my life. Please pray for me." Just slip up your hand, put it right back down. Wouldn't embarrass you for nothing, just going to pray for you. "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died today where I'd spend eternity. Please keep me in your prayers." Just slip up your hand, put it back down. How about this, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I know if I died right now, heaven would be my home. But life hadn't been real sweet here lately. Pray I'd just get back where I ought to be in my heart." God bless you. People already raising their hands. Just slip up your hand. Just going to pray for you all. Thank you. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for a good day. Thank you for these that have been saved this morning. Lord, thank you for the Spirit in this place tonight. Lord, thank you for the sweetness of life. Lord, I found that when I found you. Oh, God, tonight I pray. Maybe somebody here tonight would realize, God, that their life is not what it ought to be. Lord, you said that you've come that we might have life and we might have it more abundantly. Lord, if there's abundant life, I want it. Lord, you said that we might have peace, and if there's peace, I want it. And thank God you gave it to me. Lord, just have your way in this altar call. You know the hands. You know the hearts. And God, just have your way tonight, and we'll thank you. We'll praise you, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.